February 11th, 2025. You're listening to Supercast Gamecast Daily, and I'm your host, Bronson Fiore, joined by a Mr. Duncan Crabtree.
That's my name. And anyone who tells you otherwise gonna have a problem.
They're fed.
Coming for them.
They're fed. Don't trust them. Don't trust the Fed. Anyway, yeah. Hey, another day.
Another video game.
You know, I try and play them every day. I really do. It doesn't always work out.
I don't. Sometimes I come home and I sleep.
That's yesterday. I got done recording and editing this show, and then I went to the gym and came home and watched my friend stream for like 20 minutes and then immediately went to bed.
Yesterday I came home, recorded this show, and then I watched a video essay on the game Diplomacy with 5D multiverse time travel, and that's just so stupid. I loved it. And then I went to sleep.
Sounds sick. Well, what happens every day for sure is video game news. Don't you know?
Video game. It do news.
And we have our first news story, don't you know, which is
GTA 6 publisher. They plan to support the Switch 2, and they say Nintendo is no longer just a kid's platform.
They are not. Nintendo is not just for the children. It is for everyone.
Yep.
So this came out of that same investor call earlier with Take-Two devs. Which is, yeah. Hey, Strauss Zelnick says, we've obviously had a long-standing relationship with Nintendo. We've sort of supported the platform when it made sense for individual releases. There was a time when Nintendo platforms were really geared at younger audiences, and that reflected on a release schedule. And now today with the Switch, and potentially with the Switch 2, the device can support any audience. As you've noted, Civ 7 is now on Switch, so we'll have nothing specific to report. We actually would fully expect to support Switch 2. And while there's no confirmation of GTA 6 for Switch 2, hey dog, it'd be pretty cool if they could get GTA 6 on the Switch 2.
I think the actual viability of whether or not GTA 6 ends up on the Switch 2 is basically just, is the hardware strong enough?
I don't think it is, but...
is going to be a monster game. Like, seeing the current released footage we've had from, like, teasers, there is an implication that what is happening is, like, recreations of existing videos in engine, or at least is as some kind of cinematic. Cinematics in their previous games took place in their engine, so it would make sense that is the same in GTA 6. And the way that those look like a game that would set a Switch on fire. And the Switch 2, while it's certainly going to be well improved over the Switch, probably would still be set on fire because, you know, it's like putting GTA 6 on a PS4.
Not going to be a problem. Not going to happen. And yeah, that's kind of what my thought process was with it. I think that the Switch 2 is supposedly going to be a lot more powerful. Most people are clocking it somewhere in the neighborhood of a PS4 Pro. Some people are saying a little bit above a Steam Deck. You know, that kind of area of horsepower. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is more just saying there are other games. You know, if they make a new XCOM, if Civ 8 comes out, you know, the basketball game will keep coming to the Nintendos.
Now, there is something really important to factor in here when it comes to whether or not Take-Two is going to publish on Switch 2. And that's that if Switch 2 is as successful as the Switch, which maybe.
I would say probably.
The power of money The power of money motivates people to make incredible things happen.
Through money, all things are possible. Through the power of money.
With money. The power of just dumping dollars into it.
Yeah, we can make this game look as blurry as it needs to blur to get this running so the millions of people who have a Switch 2 can play it.
I'm sorry, what did you say? 150 million users? Yeah, it's going on Switch 2. That's possible. That could happen.
Yeah. It's like, we'll find a way. It was just like, we just have it load every time you go to a new, part of Florida. That's what we'll do.
Unfortunately, that could result in, someone at Take-Two, one of the higher-ups, walking into a room full of devs and saying that, hey, we're thinking about getting GTA 6 on the Switch 2, and a murder shortly happens. and that could be a potential development snag for a theoretical GTA 6 Switch 2 report.
Well, yeah. If they don't cover the murder up effectively enough, you know.
Yeah, which, knowing video game studios, they're actually really great at that.
Mm.
So yeah. It could actually be fine. They could have selected their decoy to go in and ask them. So it's, theoretically possible with enough money involved. And there's no video game with more money involved than Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, their allocated budget. This is not guaranteed. That's what they've used. But their allocated budget was $2 billion. That's for development and marketing.
That makes it the most expensive game ever, right?
That makes it the most expensive game ever that isn't a Ponzi scheme called Star Citizen by 4X.
That's, not real. Also, it's Star Citizen isn't the most expensive game ever.
It's not.
It's, no, Genshin Impact is the most expensive game ever.
Well, I'm referring to, that is not a continuing development live service game. Because if you want to go down that route, then, you probably have to start looking at, World of Warcraft, because it's been developed for 20 years, that.
If you pull up the list of most expensive video games ever developed, it'll say Genshin Impact at the top, that it indicates ongoing development cost. So $900 million, it looks like, is about how much they've spent. So $2 billion doubles the most expensive game ever made, and that's including live service developed game. So, and then some.
And you take out live service game, it's quadrupling
it's Star Citizen. Yeah, it's $630 million for Star Citizen.
Well, I was referring to I love Talon Star Citizen because, like I said, that's a Ponzi scheme. That's never been gonna be done. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Call of Duty Black Ops 3 and Cyberpunk are both 500 mil and 600 mil effectively. 578.
Yeah.
That's, oh, no, correction. You factor in Modern Warfare from 2019, 640, Black Ops Cold War, 700. So it's like, yo, dog, lot of money to spend. Like, you are at minimum over doubling, and in some cases 4X-ing your nearest...
The other most expensive games ever.
Yeah, like...
And they expect to make that back on launch.
They
probably will.
Not on launch, because they'll probably sell a crap ton of copies. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. But the second that GTA Online comes out and you can buy currency and shark cards, someone's gonna call Take-Two to be like, are y'all committing fraud? Because, are y'all a casino? Because, Jesus Christ.
Hear me out. GTA 6 comes out, though. Mm-hmm. They pull it within 2 weeks. It's making no money. That's definitely what will actually happen. It's going to Concord. It's going to be the biggest Concord that's ever courted. Actually, nobody's hype about GTA 6. They went, I played the fifth one.
Yeah, totally not. I'm personally not totally hyped for it, and it's probably my second most anticipated game for this year.
I'll just go play a fifth one. So I saw it on my computer already. Why would I need another one of
Yeah. I mean, sure, man. Do what you gotta do.
those?
I'm gonna play that. It looks dope. It looks like a great game.
Yeah, no, I'm almost certainly gonna play it.
Yeah, that's not gonna launch on PC. Like a day and date. PC's coming later, like next year
Are
or later.
they same date launching it, or are they doing the same thing they did before, where they're delaying the launch of the PC release?
The PC version is gonna be like they haven't even said they're doing a PC version.
I mean, one day.
One day they will, but like it's
They
definitely.
need people to do GTA RP. Like I in fact, I think I've heard stuff about like people hearing internal information that GTA 6 is like even specifically made more with RP in mind because of how popular GTA RP was.
Well, they do not feel it is important enough to make it so it is day and date on the computer, which, to be fair, I guess the argument there would be just buy a goddamn PlayStation and a capture card, or the
Yeah.
Sony co-marketing dollars, because since GTA 5, Sony has had a co-marketing deal with a co-marketing deal with Valve. Not Valve, with Rockstar. I don't know why I said Valve. A co-marketing deal with Rockstar. So every time a GTA or a Red Dead has come out or anything like that since I want to say 2013, Sony gets a little extra money, but they also threw an extra money at helping market the game. And I'd be
Yeah,
willing to
like you get a
bet.
banner.
Yeah, and I'd be willing to bet, just like all the GTA and all Red Dead 2, you're gonna see special edition PS5 Pro bundle, PS5 bundle, GTA 6. Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% happening.
Yep, that's my guess. But anyway, speaking of stuff that be happening.
And stuff that they're probably gonna try to talk about GTA 6, I feel like, just because it's an anticipated thing.
Is Sony is doing a state of play tomorrow, which we will be reporting on after it happens. So the
Yeah.
broadcast is going to be more than 40 minutes long in English and in Japanese at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow, through PlayStation, YouTube, and Twitch. No word on what's going to be in it. Saying, quote, "The show celebrates a creative and unique selection of exciting games from studios around the world." And yeah, a lot of people are trying to predict at what's happening here. So yeah, I as we always got to say during every one of these, hey, it's Bloodborne, guys. They're gonna do Bloodborne Remastered,
Bloodborne
guys.
cart.
Yeah,
It's Bloodborne
Bloodborne.
cart they're doing.
Yeah, but what's gonna be Bloodborne, right, guys? We've only been riding this train for since the PS4 Pro came out. Better Bloodborne. It's happening. It's coming.
They're blowing Mario Kart out of the water with Bloodborne cart is what they're
Yes,
doing. It's
that's.
guaranteed. Obviously, all the leaks have shown that this next state of the play is going to be all about Bloodborne cart. It's going to be 40 straight minutes of Bloodborne cart information.
Exactly. It's going to be the next big kart racer.
Yeah. I think obviously we're going to hear about Death Stranding 2. There's no way we don't hear more
Well,
about Death Stranding 2, right?
so he said that he's also going to be showing off at South by Southwest soon, though. So maybe he doesn't want to get in front of that. So I want to say that we just got a release date for Snake Eater. So I think we might see some more Snake Eater.
Yeah.
Ghost of Yotei supposed to be out this year. I can see that. More of that.
Okay, Ghost of Yotei is also a there's no way it feels like they're not talking about it to me. Like there's no way.
Story's been
It
weird with
just
these, dude. There's been a lot of these where they come out and you're speculating all this stuff, and it's less like, nope, here's. All this random shit.
Yeah, I I just would think they're gonna talk about the things that people are like looking at Sony and like holding their breath for. They're gonna at least try and talk about it, if not show new information. But maybe they just got nothing for GTA 6 or Ghost of Yote or Death Stranding 2, and they're just gonna be like, here's some other shit. Here's a game you've already played before, but it's coming to PS5.
That's hard. I think that like looking at it, I for sure think we're going to get something from Ghost of Yote, just because they've said, yeah, that's next year, dog. That's this year. And I also think that we have heard not a single word about Wolverine for like 3 years. And it's supposed to be out next year. And we also have not heard a single word about Venom, which was leaked during that Insomniac hack.
Same with
So,
Wolverine, right? Which was similarly leaked during that Insomniac hack.
yeah, like that also got leaked. And like that was like a playable leak. Like people got like pre-alpha gameplay, like you could run around and shit.
They're gonna confirm Silksong again, and it won't be true. That's my call. That's my long bet here. I'm gonna make a ton of money on this bet. They're gonna say Silksong coming out like November 2025, and then Team Cherry is gonna tweet a sad face in November, and then it won't come out.
And if we just want to talk about crazy shit that's not gonna happen, like they're gonna shadow drop Death Stranding 2, day of. The South by Southwest thing was a ploy.
Yeah, he was trying to trick you. He was trying to trick you because he doesn't want you to play it. That's the new gimmick for Death Stranding. Get as few people as possible to play it, but make it
That
even better.
sounds like something Kojima would do. He could.
Yeah, that would be a Cole Jumbie move.
I don't think we can expect that new Naughty Dog game because they just showed a teaser and they're like it's years and years out. Marathon's supposed to be out this year.
I want to see Marathon. I want to see what's going on with that. The original Marathon games are really weird and interesting, and I want more Marathon content to exist in the world. It's just I feel like that game is not going to have a lot of it. I feel like it's going to have a big Marathon coat of paint and then be an extraction shooter.
That's what I think is going to happen as well. I also think that I also think that I have almost zero faith in Bungie these days. I think I
I
have
know.
less than zero faith in Bungie these days.
It's this whole thing because, we played Destiny 2 a bit together. Every time they release an expansion and release a raid, I'm like, they're back. They're back. There's amazing developers at Bungie. And they like then release a bunch of stuff I'm not interested in and do a bad job with a bunch of stuff a bunch of times in between then. And then they release another raid and I'm like, they're back, they're back. And I feel like Marathon is not going to be a they're back moment for me, and that's sad.
Yeah, I feel I kind of already was at the point where I'm like, oh, they're done. They're done. And
Yeah, I mean, they lost so much staff, like ugh.
then like I thought the ending expansion was great. I had a fun time with it. I'd put like 260 hours into it last year. I had a fun time,
Jeez.
man. Yeah, I played a lot of Destiny last year. And then I was done. I was just
Yeah, I
like
mean, and you didn't get to do the raid even. I gotta pull you through that one of these days.
Carry me, senpai. Carry me.
Yeah.
But
It's
yeah.
an incredible raid. It was so amazing. I think the final shape was actually some incredible video game that
Yeah.
got released that year. And I also think I don't trust Bungie to do that. Anytime that they released any Destiny expansion, I've been deeply doubtful that I'm gonna enjoy it, and then I usually do enjoy it. I just don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I have like no faith in them to do anything good with this. That's my problem is I don't trust them anymore, which is wild to say, which is wild to say because there was a good period from like 2001 when I was like 11 years old to 2015, 2014 when Destiny came out, where Bungie could do no wrong. Bungie was it. And then over the course of a decade of Destiny, I just do not give a shit.
You know, it's funny thinking about the fact that there's been a decade of Destiny that's actually happened because when Destiny came out, they said, we have a 10-year plan. And that's how the game is going to go. It's going to be 10 years. We're going to do Destiny. And I remember at the time being one of the most engaged with Destiny players that existed. Just like laughing at that idea. Just thinking that that was like stupid to even say. Like, no, you're not gonna, you can't do this thing for 10 years. And I feel in some ways I was right, but they've done it. That game's, it's still around. People are playing it.
I mean, I think that it's still around, but I also think that a part of the reason they had that 10-year plan is they were drinking the World of Warcraft Kool-Aid. They got
Absolutely,
purchased
they were.
by Actabliz, and they saw World of Warcraft was already 6 years in and the biggest game in the world, and they were like, we do that. We're Bungie. And like ju and I remember in the lead up to in the lead up to but to Destiny, they're like, we're making Halo World of Warcraft with Diablo elements. And I was like, this is gonna be the greatest game ever. And it was not the greatest game ever.
What they've accomplished, I think, is that they have achieved making a game that looks like it makes a ton of money. And they've looked like they're making a lot of money for 10 years. But we know from like information that's obviously come out from Bungie that Destiny doesn't make money and that they've always been basically just staying afloat while making Destiny. And big companies look at them and they go, wow, they made Destiny. That's huge. And then buy them. And then they go, oh, this thing makes no money. You don't actually have to be part of Activision. And then they back away. And then Sony's like, I don't know, maybe Activision was wrong. That game looks like it's been making money for a long time. And now Sony wants them. And unfortunately, the big thing that has resulted in such a, you know, inability to trust them is that Sony has been systematically dismantling now for
Yeah,
years.
because they can't live up to their own promises. And that's the thing. It's just like, look, most of the time, corporate will actually let you kind of get away with murder. In all honesty,
Yeah,
but
how much money did that murder make? We're good. We're good. Just do whatever is making that money.
the problem is Destiny is like the definition of overpromise and underdeliver. And not just like quality, as in also the amount of money it makes, you know.
Yeah,
So,
and I think that's just because its development cost is so ridiculous. They, because to be fair, the results like show anything they do release is like really tightly crafted, I feel. You know, their assets look incredible. It's an incredibly pretty game. Their balance decisions have been maybe not the best, but you know, they make a great looking and feeling game. And I think the cost of that is the same as how much money it makes by being one of the most successful live service games on the market.
I also have heard from people I've actually known who have worked there is like their content pipeline is like legitimately awful. They don't know how to manage anything. And
And
it's
we've heard a lot of internal information that when we do get major content releases, a lot of the time they're cut off of other major content releases they intended to be bigger that they just couldn't manage because their content pipeline is just it's not good enough to meet the goals that they have. They wanted Witch Queen to have like Strand in it when they released the Strand subclass, and it was just not gonna happen. And so there's a bunch of weird theming about webs and stuff that then suddenly the next DLC just gets this thing that doesn't fit its vibe at all, because they've been cutting their content releases into pieces because they're like, all right, we've made a bunch of really good content and it's nowhere near what we've promised, and we need to get something out.
Yes. And I think that, just the I feel like that game is also just bloated with bad system. Like, I honestly feel like at this point that and they're obviously not doing this because they've already said they're continue to work on Destiny 2. No, stop. Burn it down. Make Destiny 3. But like, get it to, set up a prologue for Destiny 3. Go to make Destiny 3. But yeah, they got a Star Wars collab out, which is just like two of the things I used to love are now being mashed. Their corpses are now being mashed together and made
Are they doing
kiss.
that now?
Yeah, it's out now.
Do they have lightsabers?
No, it looks like we're all like it does not look like
What the
lightsaber.
fuck is the point then? What do you mean? We got a Star Wars collab and we don't have a lightsaber.
No, it does not look like there is a lightsaber here. It looks like judging by the trailer, it looks like Titan is a stormtrooper. It looks like you had a ghost that looks like a Death Star. Like the weird part to me is like all the characters you play as are based after Sith or Empire type
Yeah.
things. I'm like, this is weird.
To be fair, if they have a Darth Vader Warlock, I will go back and buy that, even though I don't want to give them my money. I'm so weak to that.
Okay, hold on. No, they did show a little bit of lightsaber at the end, but it does look like it might just be an emote. It looks like it's an emote.
That's funny.
That's sad.
But
That's
yeah.
really sad.
So that's what's going on in our heads about state of play, I guess,
I
even though we mostly aren't talking about Destiny.
actually have one bit of hope for a state of play. And it is related to our next news story. Yo, Patapon 4, a classic Sony rhythm game, is coming to PlayStation Plus. Patapon 3 update seemingly hints at plans for a PlayStation Plus release. But then there has also been, yo, dog, there is the creator of the game did not rule out working with Sony on a traditional sequel. Since his spiritual successor, Rototon, raised 10 times their Kickstarter goal.
Tell me about Patapon. I am not familiar.
Okay, so Patapon, what it is a rhythm game, right? Like, it is a rhythm game where you control a bunch of little dudes, but to make them march, and you need to make them march and do stuff. It's rhythm strategy. And you do different beats to make them do everything, to do different things. So if you want them to march, it's peta, 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 pone. And then you press that button combination in rhythm with the beat, and they say it, and then they march. And then, like, you want them to do, like, fire, like, your ranged people to fire arrows, you have to fire the beat, pone, pone, pone. And it's basically different combinations of that, and you work with units and things of that nature with these cute little dudes. And there you
A
go.
rhythm strategy game. That sounds fun. That sounds like a fun game that I should play.
You should. Patapon's pretty sick. Or you could just play the spiritual successor, Rattatan.
Rattan, yeah, true. Well, is it out?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. And apparently, I don't believe so. I will say that they are
Well,
using
Rattan
almost
on
an
Steam.
identical art style.
It's planned for a 2025 release date.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, theoretically, we could be hearing about a Rattan release on PS5
See,
during
there
the
you
state of
go.
play.
There you go. See, there we go. We're getting the spiritual successor.
Yeah, they could be getting a little Sony money and also publishing on their platform on top of Steam.
Yeah.
That's possible. I think that's reasonably possible.
I would laugh really hard if it is like literally the same, like peta 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 pawn, or instead it's just ratatatatata tone.
On.
Yeah.
My history with rhythm games is that I'm bad at them, but like
Same.
I level up as I play them. So if I just really sit there and get in, then they're manageable for me.
I'm the same way. I'm terrible at them, but I love them, so I will obsess over them and then get decent enough to good at them. That is where I'm at.
I need to perfect every song in Yakuza Karaoke, so even though I'm bad at rhythm games, I have to sit here and get good at them.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that we are very likely to hear about Patapon 3 coming to Plus tomorrow. That
Yeah.
one would not surprise me, and I would not be surprised from what he's talked about here of possibly getting a new Patapon. They did tease a new Patapon project during its CES press conference.
Yeah.
So, I would be really down for that.
On top of the dev
But
saying that he's open to engaging in making a direct sequel.
yeah, you have this thing when it comes to like games press where you have to start linking stuff together where it's just like, well, this guy said that he's interested in making a new Patapon, and they've teased a Patapon thing. So obviously, like, you don't want to be conspiracy
This one
board with the
and then
yarn.
this, and they're gonna actually, and I think that they're linking up to make this. Like, you do need a conspiracy board with the yarn a little bit. You just need to sound like you aren't.
No, fair. About my all-time favorite story for video game news reporting is in 1999, the Dreamcast came out, and someone asked Jeff Gerstmann what he would like to see on the Dreamcast, and he's like, "Oh, a Tekken game." And then that got reported in Japan as Tekken is coming to the Dreamcast. Not Jeff would like to
Yeah,
see a Tekken.
obviously.
It is Tekken is coming to the Dreamcast, and then it got reported to him later that from a Japanese outlet is, "Hey, did you hear Tekken is coming to the Dreamcast?" And his response was, "Oh, awesome, Tekken's coming." So,
Oh, sick.
it's one of those things where, like, on the one hand, I would not be surprised to get Patapon 4 announced, but I would also be like, man, not surprised if all these things were coincidence.
You have
That
to cut a balance. You have to get a balance where if it comes out, you are a sage and a soothsayer who knew the whole time. And if you only listened, everyone would know that it was coming out. And then if it doesn't come out, you go, well, obviously I wasn't saying it would come out. I was just saying it might happen. It's always a
Well,
possibility. Anything's possible.
see, no matter what happens, we are right. Because as anyone who has seen our channel tag or our social media, our about section is, we are the arbiters of good taste.
Yeah.
So we're obviously right about everything. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just like Halo 3, we are really big guys with the
Yeah.
armor on.
I love that people don't know that arbiter is a real word.
Yeah, no, it's just the guy from Halo. And it's not a real word, and it doesn't mean anything. What we're saying when we're saying we're the arbiters of good taste is that we are Sangheili, and
Yep.
we, were dishonored and forced to wear the armor, and we were dishonored because of our good taste.
Yes, wart, wart, wart.
Yeah.
Okay. Next news story.
Speaking of a PlayStation 5, there's a video game on the PlayStation 5 called Stellar Blade that
Game's all right. I
people
heard it's
like
all
and
right.
talk about.
Yeah.
And the developers of Stellar Blade are expecting that the PC version is going to outsell the PS5 version.
All right. So, more on the story is during a Q&A from fiscal year for a report for fiscal year 2024. Shift Up was asked what the results were for the PC version. He said, in the AAA game market, PC devices have a higher market share than consoles, so we expect the performance of the PC version to exceed that of the console version. We are particularly observing trends such as significant expansion of the single-player action game market in the Asian game industry. We've identified and analyzed both successful and underperforming cases of console exclusives on PC, and we're preparing to release the game in a way that can ensures the continued success in the PC market. ShiftUp says it's taken steps to ensure the PC version's success, including optimization, enhancing user convenience, adding supplementary content, and tailored marketing strategies for PC. It also plans to make sure the game will run smoothly in the ultra-mobile PC environment, such as Steam Deck or ROG Ally. They have stated the PS5 version has sold more than 1 million copies worldwide. It said the fact that the game has been continuously updated like a live service means it's steadily building a strong global fandom for the Stellar Blade IP.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. I could see... So, my take on this is lifetime sales, I could totally see being more on PC, because I feel like PC does have a longer tail. Like, I do hear a lot of stories about PC games, like... coming in and being like, oh yeah, we got all these additional sales like over time because people waited for sales or people just heard about it late or PC players don't want to spend money on games, whatever it is.
Right.
But I also could totally see the PC audience entirely ignoring this and just playing it else, you know, and ignoring this.
I would point to a comparative game that saw a lot of success once it got a PC release. Now, it's obviously no DMC5, but DMC5, it had a very successful lifespan on PC. It had a great PC push because it coincided with them releasing new content for the game because it was the same time that Virgil came out. And
I thought that was day and date on PC. I've been playing that on launch on PC.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it that they had the ray tracing upgrade for PC first?
I think they had the ray tracing upgrade first. Like, the ray tracing upgrade was first on PC, I think is what happened.
That's what it was.
Because,
regardless, it is a comparative game in the same genre that also released on PC. And I think that it is very popular on PC.
I think it's popular. I don't think it outsold the console version.
Is that true? I mean, I guess do we have those numbers available to us? And how did Nier Automata do? That's also another important point of comparison.
Yeah, like they don't break it down by platform. They just say how many copies it sold total.
Yeah.
DMC5 was also a game with a long tail, though. Granted, it came out on the old consoles and then re-came out with extra stuff on the new ones. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, PC, and this is why you do see a lot of bad PC ports, along with other reasons that I'll get into in a sec, which is it's hard to judge how a game is going to do on PC. You know, I find the PC audience to kind of just want to stay in whatever hole they're in. You go on Steam and like, it's almost always the same, like five games are in the most popular. Every now and then a new one will sneak in, but it's always just like, oh yeah, it's, Dota, Counter-Strike, Stardew Valley, whatever the most recent CD Projekt game is. You know, like it's very rare that you're going to see something new creep into, like, like even the top 20 sometimes they'll be riding old stuff for a while. Like right now, Kingdom Come 2 is doing well, and like
Yeah.
so is Civ 7, but I guarantee you after launch week that's going to peter out real hard.
Yeah. And I think this also may just be a case, though, of a company looking at install bases and knowing that there's a larger market that theoretically exists on PC, and just going, well, a lot more people have PCs. It wouldn't be the first company to posit such a point while basically only having the evidence that bigger number over there. So bigger number mean more sales.
Right, versus like, well, yes, but also how many PCs can run Stellar Blade and run it well? How is the PC audience the type of play people are gonna play Stellar Blade? Is you
Yeah.
know is like do they know about Stellar Blade? Like there's a lot of questions that come to mind versus like you know I look at console and I think that there is a reason that all these companies tend to do console ports first, be it Grand Theft Auto, Stellar Blade, whatever it is, and I don't think it's always a co-marketing deal. I think that it is genuinely, yo, dog, these people are actually going to buy the game new at $70, $60, whatever the full price is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that a common thing that people developing for PC have as a problem is variability in PC specs.
Yeah.
You have to account for if you want to capture that large audience that is the whole reason to move to PC. You have to account for the fact that people have really, really different amounts of power in their rigs. And you have so that means that you have to account for really different scenarios when it comes to the resources available to your game. And that can cause unexpected issues that developing for a console doesn't make you deal with because the console will always have the same specs. You know exactly the range that you have to be developing for, know exactly how it's going to run on everyone's version of it. Whereas accounting for, a dude with a 1080 in his PC and a dude with a 5090, that's way more complicated when it comes to like knowing how it's going to work on that hardware.
It's, well, yeah, exactly. Like you have, you know, like you want to target the lowest common denominator and scale up from there, but you don't even know how different, like, what you can count on in those. Like, yeah, I have a 3080, but dude, there's like 10 different 3080s. Do you have an overclocked 3080? Do you have
Right.
a 3080 that's been underclocked? Do you have a 3080 with a different cooler so it can get a little more performance? You know, and it's like, you know, you factor all that in, and you're factoring the fact that, like, I run into this on Steam all the time, where it's like, this game doesn't run well on my rig. And then they, like, will post their rig specs and be like, it's a potato. Like, they
Yeah.
plug, you know. Not that when Marvel Rivals launched, this game doesn't run on my computer. It's like, but what are you trying to run it on? A 1060! You know, it's like,
Okay, but Marvel Rivals had that crazy thing where games that ran the game like characters literally worked worse on rigs that ran the game worse. Doctor Strange, for example, actually plays very noticeably different on a rig that effectively runs the game versus a rig that doesn't. His movement mechanics literally feel different.
right, but this is not that. This is like legitimately the game cannot run well on their computer and they are mad, but then you look at their computer and they're running like hardware that is 8 years old. And it's like,
Isn't that just
bro.
such a crazy story though? If you have like a 2070 or something in your PC and you run Marvel Rivals and you play Doctor Strange, there are people who were unaware of movement mechanics for Doctor Strange because they can't be executed on a PC that doesn't run the game well.
So that does not surprise me because a lot of games will tie logic to frame rate. Like, that's a big part of why
Yeah,
we have not
absolutely.
seen a Bloodborne anything, is because a lot of that game's logic is tied to its frame rate. So they have to
Yeah.
keep it at 30-ish. You know, like that's why. That does not necessarily, it's less common these days, but yeah. So
And
I think
that's
that.
because people are accounting for PC releases. It's easier it seems in a lot of cases to tie things like your physics engine to your frame rate, but that makes a PC release like not even in the fucking cards sometimes.
I mean, you would just have to lock frame rate and say, hey, if you can't get this frame rate, you can't play this game. Like you would, yeah, so it's, and that my favorite thing regarding PC gaming recently has been going on the Steam Deck Reddit whenever a new release happens that's like really graphically intense and seeing them like it totally runs at 30 FPS, 40 FPS, and it is the most potato-fied version of the game ever. They're running a bunch of mods to make it look worse so it can run, and it is the funniest thing in the world.
That's powerful. Mod to make the game worst is amazing. I love that.
I love the people who are like, or the people who are just in denial, like, yes, this totally runs fine on deck, and it's like 22 FPS.
Yeah, it was definitely a big part of Baldur's Gate 3 was people going, I'm gonna make this thing run on my computer. I don't care what I gotta do.
They have anything they'll do, they'll say that, but then they'll do anything but buy a new graphics card.
Yeah, I made Baldur's Gate 3 run on a 970 for a while, and then that's when I bought my new PC.
Right, but like if it, you did not go mad doing it. My girlfriend was having problems, and then I told her it's probably because the game asks you to install it on an SSD. And yours is full, so let's just put another SSD in your computer. And we did, and lo and behold, it worked. That's another thing that's catching a lot of people on PC these days, is they're not aware of the SSD requirement. They're like, why have all these games run like shit now? It's like, 'cause you're not following the instructions that the game yells at you to do. You have to install it on an SSD. But I did, developing for a console is easier. Back to the original topic, is like it's easier because you're only targeting two specs on PlayStation, two specs on Xbox. You're looking at, you might have some extra money coming from the developer or sorry, the public, not the publisher, the console SDK owner, along with them helping you get the game running and on the platform. I think that you also have the factor of, I really do feel that if you look at the top selling games of most years, I'd be willing to bet a lot of that is from consoles.
Now, I do think that Stellar Blade releasing on PC does have one major advantage it didn't have during its original release.
It mods.
And that is also that things have toned down from the great goontroversy that occurred during the original release, in which people were screaming at Sony for how dare you censor my goon content. And things aren't so controversial around Stellar Blade anymore. People have calmed down. There's not a bunch of weirdos making video petitions about fixing Stellar Blade. It's just gonna come out. It's just gonna
Yeah,
come out on
now
YouTube.
there's just gonna be a bunch of weirdos making Gooner mods for it. That's what they're
Yeah,
gonna be doing.
and yeah, it's been regooned. Don't worry, everyone. You can put it back in.
The great dooning of our time has begun.
Yeah, the great gooning of our time has begun. And I think not having that negative attention around it could give them the opportunity to do a marketing push. And I know of a lot of people who were completely turned away from Stellar Blade just because they were like, yeah, I don't like all this stuff going on there. I don't like whatever the deal is with the people talking about that. I don't want to, I'm just not going to touch that game. Even though from everything I've heard about it, it's actually like pretty dope.
It was pretty cool. Like I did the trial on PSN and it seemed neat. I was definitely gonna wait for it to be on discount. I don't know. It feels like every time a game gets ported from console to PC late, it doesn't live up to expectations unless there's a lot of novelty behind it. Like I know that there's been multiple stories about like, yeah, all these Sony PC ports, they just kind of sell okay. They basically are a giant marketing billboard for people, which I've said before, I think it's brilliant the way Sony handles this, where they're like, they put the game out on PlayStation and then 1 to 2 years to, in some cases, 3 years later, put it out on PC right as the next one is coming out in the next year. I think that is
Right.
so brilliant because it's like, oh man, I loved Spider-Man. I loved God of War. Oh, the new one's out and it's on PlayStation? Fuck it, I'll buy a PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think it's
Overall, though,
brilliant.
I think the idea that they're gonna outsell the PS5 version on PC is naive if it isn't paired with a pretty extreme marketing push.
Which I don't think. I think, well, I don't know. They don't have that Sony co-marketing money, but the game did well enough to where they might have their own war chest to market it.
Yeah,
And
possibly.
then of course the Gunner vote is pretty popular in video games today.
Well, and they have the goon money. They have the goon money from their gacha games that they make. I believe
Does Shift
they
Up make
Shift Up
gacha
is
games?
associated. I believe they're associated with a company that has gacha game.
Crane developer. Oh yeah, they make Goddess of Victory, Nikkei, and
Oh, the Gooner gacha game, Nikkei. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, then okay, so then they got Gooner money elsewhere to fund the PC marketing campaign. So
Yeah.
we'll see. We'll probably see a big push then. All
Yeah.
right, good to know. More gooning at 11. Right, so next and final news story is hey, Hellblade 2 could be released for PS5 pretty soon, it's claimed. According to Windows Central executive Jez Corden, who mentioned Microsoft plans for Ninja Theory's game on X Tuesday, during their 40-minute state of play presentation, Hellblade 2 time, maybe, smiley face. Not if when, and when is pretty soon from what I've been hearing. And this will continue the list of previously Microsoft-only games of Pentafit, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and Grounded, and Forza Horizon 5, and Indiana Jones, all coming from Xbox to PlayStation.
Microsoft once more has taken a knife to the belly of the ex concept of the exclusive, and sacrificed it at the altar of their money, taking their loyal console warriors and casting them away into the pit of flame, for they have chosen the wrong side, and their exclusives are not their exclusives anymore.
I think that at least for the rest of this generation, we're going to continue to get news stories like this. Like, it's a huge deal. And a bunch of people really mad on Twitter and X being like, I'm leaving the Xbox platform forever. And then it's just the cycle will continue.
Yeah, I do think we'll continue to hear stories about Microsoft personally entering the homes of their console warriors and summarily executing them for their folly.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. I played Hellblade 2 when it was on Game Pass on PC and on Xbox. It seems fine. It's an all right game.
Yeah.
I think that Xbox is just in the point where they're effectively a third party studio. The comments that we got on our last pair of Xbox videos we did reminded me very much of the comments you used to see on forums when Sega went third party, where it was just a
Yeah.
bunch of denial and people screaming that it wasn't happening. But like,
Right.
I don't know, unless they put out that handheld and it does well, which I think it could, I think that they're done. I think
Yeah.
that
Yeah, I think that they'll probably keep making the box for a while, I feel. They're probably gonna make another box at least.
Oh yeah, well
And
like
then
I
we'll try out that handheld.
they have said well like apparently most of Game Pass's revenue comes from Xbox owners proper. So it's like it'd be
Yeah.
stupid to just stop making the box. But I think more and more, like Forza Horizon 6 and Halo, whatever they call the next Halo and Gears E-Day, and we've already confirmed Ninja Gaiden 4 is all day and date with PlayStation and PC.
And I think this just comes from the fact that, they've obviously experimented with just not making games exclusive, and they went, oh, hey, it works out for us actually, because we own the PC market. It's they're installing it on a Windows PC.
Yeah, and not only that, it's just like, how much more money do you, like, Sea of Thieves came out on PlayStation last year. Sea of Thieves is a 7-year-old game, and it was a top 20 best-selling PS5 game last year. Seven-year-old video game.
It's yeah, I mean, Sea of Thieves is like unbelievably popular and profitable, which is crazy, despite because you never hear about it, but
We
people
used to
love that
play
game.
it all the time. That was our big COVID game. While everyone else was doing Among Us, our little posse was doing Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's obviously they're going to keep making consoles. There's no reason for them not to be making consoles. And I think that, they're going to keep doing the Game Pass because Game Pass good, and that's why they'll keep making the consoles. It's just they don't actually have a real reason to do exclusives because when the game sells on PS5, they also make money.
Yes, and I think that people getting mad about that are out of their mind because, like, dude, I'm sorry, but like, I loved Indiana Jones. 4 million people played it on Game Pass. It probably didn't sell as great as it needed to, but in my opinion, it was one of the best games of last year. If you have a PC or an Xbox or in a couple of months a PS5, you should play Indiana Jones, and I think that everyone should, but we'll see. I don't know. And this, I'm always like a fan of more people being able to play the video game. So it's like, and there are a lot of people who only own PlayStations, no PC, no Xbox, no Switch. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, you should be able to play Indiana Jones.
Especially for certain games like Sea of Thieves, which it's like more people, better game.
Oh, yeah,
It's population go up.
I think that for live service games, Sony should totally consider publishing on, publishing on Xbox as well. I think putting out Helldivers on Xbox would be such a good idea. Yeah, and you would even do an exclusive. And if you wanted to have some real fun with it, you could give the PlayStation players Killzone skins, and then the Xbox players, give the Xbox players like ODST Halo skins, and give the PC players like Doomguy skins. Yeah, there you go. Boom.
I think that Xbox is they still have the major advantage that they have one gigantic, obviously the most important exclusive game, Phantom Dust, the one everybody knows about, and definitely didn't tank the existence of Microsoft Japan as a studio. It's still exclusive to Xbox. It's not coming to PlayStation.
And the other big exclusive they have is equally as important, Viva Pinata 2.
Yeah, Viva Pinata 2.
So you
Yeah,
can only those are
and
both.
until PlayStation gets Viva Pinata 2, what are they gonna do? What, like they're you know, their days are numbered.
I genuinely love Viva Pinata 2, and if you have access to an Xbox, you should play it. It's a great
I
game.
genuinely love Phantom Dust, and you should play that because it's free. It's free on PC and Xbox, the full game, and it's like amazing. And no one's ever there's no video game like it. There's never probably gonna be a video game like it ever again. And it's incredible. Phil Spencer personally made sure that Phantom Dust got ported to modern consoles because he personally likes it that much.
Xbox.
And just Xbox
Xbox,
executives are
okay.
like 30% of the entire population of the game.
Viva Pinata doesn't have that going for it, but it does have, if you want to breed more pinatas, that you have to lead them through a maze and then they do a dance, and then you also, when you need more resources, you have to murder your pinatas by beating them to death with a shovel.
Yeah, and mechanics like that, you know, that equals a game that has the economic force of a small nation. And if PlayStation not having that, it's really a death knell to their long-term viability in the video game market.
I'm gonna be real. In a post Stardew Valley world, Viva Pinata would make so much fucking money. Like, Microsoft is sitting on this cash cow where, like, in a post Stardew Valley world, if they were to put out Viva Pinata 3, oh my god, that game would be stupid profitable.
No, you don't really make money though. Sonic Chow Garden. Sonic Adventure Chow Garden. Don't even put a Sonic Adventure game on it. Just make me a
Spent to
Sonic
death.
Adventure Chow Garden video game.
All right.
That's free money.
Company, I'm just saying we are hireable for consulting services. That's all I'm
Yeah,
saying.
that's true. I will make you $6 trillion. Within the first fiscal year.
Yep. You just have to pay me like $2 million a year. I'll make it happen. Anyway. That's a show. If you liked that, you should like and subscribe and do all those things so more people can find us and see us and love us and tell us how cool we are, so we can keep doing this. We're
For
on
the
just.
love of God, I need your engagement juice. I will die. I will burn. Unless you give me your engagement juice by pressing the like button and the subscribe button,
And
it will
comment.
kill me.
Comment.
And
Let us know what
comment.
you think.
Yeah.
All
Are you a
right.
murderer? Because that's what you will be if you don't like, subscribe, and comment.
Bold strategy. Let's see how it works out for him. Gotten. All
All
right. All right, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I guess Aaron and Lucy will talk to you tomorrow. We love you.
right,
Bye.
well. Bye.